Hello, my name's Tom Walker. Welcome to That'll Be The Day. In this podcast, I'm talking to a visually impaired writer who's written a piece for theatre on how women were portrayed on television in the 1960s. But before we hear from Mandy Redvers-Rowe, if you like the sound of the music at the start of this podcast, it's a track called That'll Be The Day by the Liverpool band The Vow. And as always, I'll be featuring a track by The Vow at the end of this podcast. To find out which one I've chosen, stay tuned. Collective Encounters describes itself as the home for theatre for social change. When they were invited to take part in the BBC 100 Archive programme, they invited Mandy to work on a production called Anti, based on that archive material. I saw the performance on the day after International Women's Day at Toxteth TV in Liverpool. Anti skillfully brings out the gender-based stereotypes that inform the reporting and description of women's lives in documentaries, along with other programmes. Have a listen to Mandy and decide for yourself whether things have changed for women in the past 60 years and whether they've changed enough.
Anti Road Show.
Yay!
How are you all feeling today?
Yeah, good.
What a great way to start.
So Collective Encounters is a theatre for social change company. Works with participant groups, and the big thing about it is that the groups work collaboratively together on productions to look at the political situation they're in. So Collective Encounters works with people with direct experience of homelessness, young people, older people, people who are, for whatever reason, sometimes excluded from society or find themselves in difficult positions. And the Collective Encounters works to go, why is this? You know, sort of what the policies around that have put you in this position structurally, where are the inequalities? And so when you work with Collective Encounters as a writer, you're working within that framework and looking at the political structure that creates the situations that people find themselves in.
So here we are on set, you know, under the spotlights, and the actors were performing here but a few minutes ago. Tell me about Anti.
So Anti came about because Collective Encounters got invited to be part of the BBC 100 archive programme with two other theatre companies, and I got invited in as a writer to work with them, and we initially did an R&D, and there's sort of three elements to the production, and one is the BBC archive material, particularly 60s material, and this group is the Women in Action group, so it's a group of women looking at how women were represented in the 60s. And the Marcus, who was the researcher, was very keen on these lost programmes, the programmes that had happened, we have no recording of, but we have some records of, and so some of those were featured in the show. So the show consists of some archive material, some of the research that Marcus did, some research I did, some research that the group and Tessa did, the director, Tessa Buttle. And then the third element is some work that the women have done in response to monologues they've written, some pieces of work they've written in response to the archive material. And so my job really as a writer was to pull it all together, put it in some sort of form, and then do some sort of response myself as a writer.
Must have been quite a feat pulling together all this research and trying to find archives, because there's not a lot around, as you found.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, I got given a lot of archive material that the group had been working with, so that was great. So they'd done some filtering out for me. I was allowed to go and look at other stuff as well, which I did. I think I brought something else in. But I think the initial clip we started with, I found a really like that clip about how somebody managed their household income and that whole idea. It was very interesting. So some of the comedy really came from the archive material and our modern way of viewing that sort of non-fiction sort of documentary material. Very interesting views.
And when you listen to some of the material that you included, some of the archive material, the tone has changed massively.
Yeah, Yeah, it's very different. If people were not afraid to, as it appeared, judge and make very discriminatory statements about women and what women should and shouldn't be doing. Very interesting. Upsetting, funny, because we have some distance from it and it's not true exactly today, but also my job was to look at where are we being controlled today from a state perspective or from sort of policy perspective.
I mean, you're of a similar age to me, yeah. So we've noticed a lot of social change, and certainly from female perspective, I'm sure you've noticed quite a lot of change.
Yeah.
But how are things different, and are they better?
Oh gosh, I'm not there. So am I the person? I think I sat pretty much on the fence on this as a writer, because a lot of the group, I wanted them to have their voices, which weren't always agreeing, which is good. I didn't want the group to always agree with each other, and their voices are in there. So in many ways it's better. We appear to have more freedom, there appears to be less judgment. But then you look at the policy from 2017, where George Osborne put a limit on how many people who claim universal credit, how many children they will fund. So again, there's some sort of social engineering still happening from a government perspective. I still think it's very class driven. So I think you're allowed to do whatever you want to do if you're upper class. And I think if you're an ordinary person and you are dependent on earning a wage or you're living on some aspects of benefits, you are judged and made to answer for every decision you make in your life.
Number three. Your friend's husband, who's out at work all day, frequently leaves her at home with their two young children in the evening and goes out to follow interests of his own. Should she murder him and throw him down the cellar steps?
Chuck him out, definitely.
One of the things I noticed was there wasn't a massive distinction between the audience and the performers. Was that deliberate?
Yeah. Well, the way Collective Encounters works is it often encourages people in the audience to discuss and have debates and have feedback and weighs in. It's not mandatory. You don't have to stand up and speak at a show. You're given that opportunity if you want. But in the breaks, people were at tables and they had chats and you could write things which might get read out by the performers. So there's lots of ways you can get your own views into the show, which is what they're designed for.
There was lots of engagement, actually. They were certainly quite motivated and to get involved, weren't they?
Yeah. It was a brilliant audience. It's the second, the group are doing four shows. I came to the first one on Thursday night and I've come to this one Saturday. And the audiences for all of the shows are really good, great attendance. And people are really very supportive of the performers, who are brilliant. And everyone seems to be enjoying it, so I'm very happy.
We're both visually impaired, so I have to ask you this as well.
Yeah.
Just moving the discussion on to disability.
Yeah.
How have things changed over your lifetime for disabled people, for the better or the worse, or where are we?
Right, okay, so from the media point of view, I don't think we appeared in the 60s. I just don't think we were there on television, or unless we were there in a very sort of negative perspective, you know, look at this poor person and how awful their life is. I remember in the 80s, 90s, we campaigned, didn't we, Tom? I certainly campaigned for rights, not charity, and for us to be even at the table in the equality laws, because the equality laws, when I first became like a young adult, we weren't included in the Equality Commission. It was just for racial minorities and for women and disabled people. We had no legal right, no legal status at all. So we campaigned for that. We got the DDA in 1995, Disability Discrimination Act. In my mind, that was the strongest place we were, when we put real pressure on the government. There was a two-pronged approach. There was lots of political campaigns, stopping traffic, etc. But there was also a lot of people lobbying their MPs, and we got that through. It wasn't the best law. And I think what's happened since, it got merged into an equality law and then into the human rights law. And I think, I don't know how you feel, Tom, but it's got weaker and weaker.
Yes, I think we're in a worse position now than we've ever been, certainly in my adult life.
Yeah, I agree. I think things are worse. I've been lucky enough to get jobs, but the employment situation for vision impaired people is as bad as it's ever been. There is no enforcement of anything, and there is, and this idea of this is my guide dog making, you know, she's upset too.
Yeah, it's not you. Yeah, she's agreeing with you. Yeah,
reasonable adjustment means that employees get away with everything, and whereas we thought initially IT computer systems would make things more accessible to us, they're now making them inaccessible. They're not compatible with screen readers.
Different set of problems.
Whole load of problems, and people just go, do you know, we can't do it, and that's it. They keep people out of work. They keep people out of engaging, and I think because the country as well is in a bad economic situation, we are back again, being bottom of the pile and unregarded and uncatered for.
When you were writing the piece, were you interested at any point in that interaction between gender and disability?
Yeah, I think, because we were focusing on the 60s initially, I didn't sort of get into those areas. It was about the archives and the bits that came in afterwards. One of the big problems was, how do we bring it up to date? How do we have those conversations about where we are now? And in the end, we created some spaces towards the end of the production where people could talk about how things have changed. I particularly, as a writer, focused on the equality law and the equal rights, because that still isn't resolved. And, you know, as we said, even the BBC got brought by the Equal Rights Commission to task, although it was exonerated. There were recommendations. But I focused on that as a writer, but it was one of those spaces where the women in the group got to also put in their experiences of equal pay, and also they got to put in their experiences of gender issues and that. But to answer your question in a short way, I didn't go down the disability route. There are a couple of women in the cast who are disabled, but I felt it wasn't the place for me to maybe get in. But I found it interesting. I certainly thought about it.
And in terms of yourself, obviously you're a writer, which I will mention in the introduction. I'll make sure I do.
Thank you.
Yes, indeed, and an actor. What's coming up for you?
Oh, gosh. I've got one of those years ahead where I've got to create a lot of my own work, because I haven't got any commissions at the moment. I've been writing for CBeebies, which has been great fun, particularly a programme called Dog Squad, which is about assistance dogs. And it's a programme for 3 to 6 year olds, but I think education, inclusion starts with us educating the young, so that people grow up thinking disability access is part of everyone's lives from a young age. So I'm very passionate about that programme. I've just finished writing for series three, and I've written for series two, and I wrote for series one. Series one is out there. Series two is about to be launched, and series three is still being filmed. So that's been what I've been doing last year and beginning of this year, as well as Auntie. I've got some stuff in development, but I haven't got any commissions at the moment. So that's what I'm working on, Tom. Anyone out there who wants to commission me, please
any
get
editors,
in touch.
Commissioners, anybody out there, if you're listening to this podcast, Mandy's phone number is da, 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 da.
I have a profile online.
Oh, you've got a profile online, so just look up Mandy Revers Rowe and you will find her. Absolutely brilliant. Just one final question then, going back to Auntie. What is the overriding message of Auntie? What do you want people to take away from today?
It's really, because it's collaborative, we don't have the idea when we work with Collective Encounters is not to have a message, because it's collaborative with the women in the piece, that we allow for different opinions. That is the big thing about this type of community writing, that you don't try and force everyone into one message. What I think it's important to say is, the question at the end of it is, have things changed for women? Have they changed enough? That's the question I want to leave people with. And if you go away thinking about that, coming to your own conclusions and thinking bigger, what needs to be done still? How do we get a more equal society? I would love to add, and we did add at the end, for all women, for gay women, for trans women, for women of colour, and for disabled women. Let's get us all equal.
And I've got to mention Yona, because she's having her little say down here. You're not going to be silenced, are you? You're not going to be silenced. No, she's not.
And women dogs, that's what she's saying.
That's what she's saying. Don't forget me. Exactly.
Don't forget me.
Don't forget me, she's saying. As well, we've finished now, Yona.
Oh, thank
Mandy,
you,
thank
Tom.
You very much.
Thank you very much.
For better pay. Hey.
Yes.
This is a message for everyone, everywhere.
Keep fighting for change.
Thank you.
So thanks very much there to Mandy Redvers-Rowe and the cast from Collective Encounters for a thoroughly enjoyable afternoon. So which track have I chosen? Well, it's this one, Venus Girl by The Vow.
In a world like this, transmitting in the emptiness, when all hope is long gone, you've no faith in anyone. But she came in the name of love, the one thing there's so little of, reeled in the hard lines, laid down the good times. Venus girl, she fell down to earth from a great height, a meteorite in my world, explodes in my mind's eye. She never makes a move in haste, good things come to he who waits. She brings the sunshine, rolls out the good times. Venus girl, the brightest of stars in the night sky, the sole satellite of my world, explodes in my mind's eye. Loaded with love, but she can't get enough of the stuff that our dreams are all made of. Venus girl, she fell down to earth from a great height, a meteorite in my world, explodes in my mind's eye. She exploded my mind's eye. Yes, she exploded my mind's eye.